Evening prayers, let's now be back. Almighty and eternal Father, together under the thy presence to worship thee, thankful for thy children, that thy abiding presence is with us all the way even to the end of this age, for the assurance of thy covenant to the power of thy purposes of the revelation of thy word, that stands before thy household only the encouraging vision of approaching success. Realizing that we have before us a challenge, and knowing that we have problems and struggles before us, and recognizing also that you have ordained that thy kingdom shall survive and be triumphant, that you have assured and promised the support and the reinforcements essential to bring upon thy people the victory which you have ordained, calling for thy sons and thy daughters to stand up and bind the darkness, to lift up the standard, to approach and pursue the forces of darkness, knowing as we resist the nature free. Thankful that this great nation, which you have ordained for these latter days, one of the great nations of thy kingdom, to which the assembly of the many peoples of thy household have passed. Thankful that in this great heritage you have lifted up a standard of thy faith and a standard of thy vision, and because of this we have become a great nation. Recognizing the challenge of darkness that would destroy us in this hour, we pray that you shall put into our consciousness a realization of our beginning, and give us the vision of our responsibility and prophecy for these things which are ahead, until we shall continue to establish and lift up thy standards before the world. So we say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, praying that you will grant unto us an understanding of the struggle for the earth as it relates to an attempt to suppress the truth or to commingle it with the darkness. Say that thy will be done, that we ask it. Then tonight in our discussion of the subject of right and wrong, recognizing that this is a very vital issue in our time, because there are many ways in which these things are being said and expressed. We find today that if you stand for America and you love your nation, if you stand for Christ and you love Christianity, if you are a white man and love your mother and father and want your great-grandchildren to look like your children, that you're on the extreme right. If you want to see the preservation of this great nation and of these United States, and you do not want to see the board commingled with all the areas of darkness and superstition and taken into an area of world government in which the powers of darkness and the forces of evil can outmaneuver you and siphon your strength and your greatness and your technology from you and enslave you, then you're on the extreme right. But if you believe today that a world will be improved by amalgamation, by commingling 5/6 of the error with 1/6 of the truth, by subordinating great nations and Christian nations to the power and darkness of everything from Buddhism and Hinduism to Buddhistic witch doctors and Pinata's Mau Mau. If you believe in that, then, my friends, you are a liberal. But we refer to these liberals, if they are identified with the Communist Party, as the extreme left, because this is about the apex of the identity of the pattern of evil. Now I note that there are a lot of people that are seeking to encourage themselves by thinking that what we need to do in this day is walk down the middle of the road. Get just as close to the middle as you can get, because then you'll need to be on the extreme left or the extreme right, and everybody will slap you on the back and say, "Hail fellow, well met." Everybody but God. Well, I point out to you that you cannot avoid issues in this world, because the whole struggle for the earth is based around issues. And in this instance, the Most High God tells over here about the church age in which you are living, the climactic age at the end of time, in which a great and powerful force representing the ecclesiastical orders of earth, called the church age of Laodicea, advises people to take the middle of the road. Whether it's done with the bishop pipes or the late Bromley Oxens, whether it's carried out by the Blakes, or whether it's followed through by a brainwashed cardinal, it's all the same. Take the middle of the road, make no opposition to anybody, everybody will like you, everybody but God. In this instance, he said, "I know thy works, I know you're neither hot nor cold. I know you have a great brotherhood with everything my church is against. I know that you call for unity with all the world. I know that you say this is the middle-of-the-road position. Don't be against anything, be for everything." He says, "I wish thou wert cold or hot, but because thou art neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." I point out to you tonight that there is no position that the Church of Jesus Christ Christian can take that's in the middle of the road. I point out that
There is no attempt anywhere from the book of Genesis to the end of Revelation to have you select a middle position. All issues are evaluated by being either right or wrong. This idea today, in which we see them trying to make mental implications to an individual that is extremely right. They have coined the word extreme right. That means as far over on the right as you can get. And my, if you're that far over, you must be crazy, they say. Let me assure you something. That instead of saying the left and the right, we're just saying right and wrong. Now, it doesn't make a difference how wrong you want to be. If you want to be the most extensive wrong you can get, you just totally identify yourself with the politics of hell, the philosophy of hell, the godlessness of hell, and the worship of evil. If you want to be as right as you can get, you get over on God's side, accepting his blueprint, his word, his purposes, and whatsoever needs his prayer. Now, I realize that we're living in turbulent times. I realize that with the areas of communication, and I'm not in any way, my friends, exaggerating when I tell you that the majority of the areas of communication are tonight in the hands of the enemy of Christian America. I tell you that the majority of the medias of communication in the United States tonight are in the hands of liberals that would sell you out to a world government, subordinate you to pagan and socialist causes, integrate and mongrelize your race in violation of divine law. I'm going to tell you that God Almighty is going to introduce and he is already beginning to press and move to the services of his people, areas of communication, which you don't have to go through the press or the radio or the television to get. But I want you to know that all these avenues are turned loose upon the people to keep them mentally subdued under a pattern of automatic and constant hypnosis. The strategy being that people will embrace what they hear off-repeated. And the same old sorcery that used to be used while men slept by constantly repeating things in their ear, they think you'll become so accustomed to that eventually you absorb it. And they're trying to tell you today that if you are in the areas of what the Bible calls right, that you're wrong. They're trying to tell you that good is evil and that evil is good. Or at least to neutralize you by getting you to walk down the center so that you can be a friend of everybody. Does the scripture tell you to seek the end for friendship with the world? Tells me in my Bible that the friendship with the world is the enmity with God. Now be a realist. This means that God said if you can get along with all the organizations, institutions, and orders that are against me or against my kingdom, if you can get along tonight with a program of subordinating my kingdom under a world government that's ruled over by the darkness, if you can subordinate my church to all the religious systems of the world, if you can subordinate my instructions to the world substitute, then you're at enmity with me. Now, I'd be happy tonight a whole lot to be at enmity with a lot of power that moves around that is not going to have it very long than to have the friendship of these organizations and institutions and of a lot of power exerted in areas of government today that's soon not going to have any power. Because I'm going to tell you this, that you can read the end of the story too. You know, there's a difference in literature. I've enjoyed lots of the patterns and plans and things that we find in literature. But a lot of times you don't have the time to read the whole book and you want to know how did this thing end up. And you go to the back of the book and read it. Well, you can say the author had something to do with it. The author determined how it was going to come out, especially if he's not talking about history. And then sometimes when I look at the textbooks today that our students get, I discern that the author determines how history comes out. For about 75% of the history being taught to our school children in America today is an author's lie that was propaganda prepared to give a wrong slant to our students on their own origin of their own nation. But there's one thing about this book. I'm holding in my hands the Bible. There is in here a combination of a multitude of books. The authorship was under inspiration as holy men wrote as they were moved by the Spirit of God. God wrote the book. He wrote the book as it related to the past. He wrote it as it related to the present. He wrote it with prophecies related to the future. And he said what was going to come to pass. And he wrote the end of the story. And the only difference between this and a lot of other books, this power and this person and this author can make it come to pass. Whatsoever he ordained, he said, will come to pass, shall come to pass. So I advise you, if you're a little hurried for time, read the end of the story. In fact, the end is so good, you'll want to know all about what goes on in between. Someone said, what is the end of the story? You know, one of the amazing things here is if I tell you the truth, God's enemies don't like it. And since God's enemies don't like it, we never invite any of them here anyhow. The only people that are invited here are Christians. Or I see the Adamic race, or white men that will not be insulted by the truth. And if somebody else comes in here, it's his own fault. And if he wants to spare himself, it's time to go now. Because it is impossible for me to uphold the content of this book and not be in opposition to the conspiracies, the strategies, and the sons of darkness. Of all the false pictures that have been given to the world concerning God and concerning his own embodiment when he walked the earth as the man Christ Jesus, the church today, under the Laodicean age, in order to get this middle-of-the-road, worthless individual, as they're trying to make Christians today, have to misrepresent God and sell the world on a bad concept. Now, I'll tell you one of the things they're trying to sell Christians on. They're trying to make you think that God is so overflowing with an area of emotion that they classify as love, not knowing what true love is, that he wants everybody to get along, and whether the thing is truth or error, whether it's worship of darkness or the light, whether it's the thing that's good for his household or family or not, then he wants it all to get together and get along. And they picture God walking along, and all he's trying to do is have everybody get along. In fact, if their picture of Christ was anything like the true picture of Christ, they would be having a hard job to explain why the Jews crucified him. Because even if the Pope says they didn't, I'm going to still tell you that they did. My Bible tells me who did it. The 16 other popes found out who did it before this man came along. Now, we're not angry with the Pope. There's already a plot to assassinate him when he goes down to Israel allied. He'll be a martyr for his church. And the Jews will blame it on the Arabs and try to get a world upheaval going on. And they were warned in the Vatican that there's a plot to assassinate the Pope. But Los Angeles newspapers even carry the reports of the Secret Service plotters. But then this is normal to Jewry. Let's turn over to the book of Hebrews. Come on. Remember, however, before we go on, that when the United Nations was trying to go over taking the world, they picked some pretty good idealistic men who thought that there was a way to mediate all problems, and one of these men was Count Bernadotte. Remember him? And he went down to observe the right and the wrong of the Israeli invasion, the creation of this aborted state. Remember what they did to him? They shot him. Then they hung little medals around the neck of the other that did this. No. But that was where they were the majority for the moment. I turned to the book of Hebrews, and I listened to these words. The Most High said, being made better than the angels, talking about the embodiment of God as the man Christ Jesus. Unto whom of the angels did he ever say, thou art my son, this day I have begotten him? He also talked to your race with these same words when he said, I will be a father unto him, and he shall be unto me a son. And speaking of his embodiment, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now we're getting right down to talking about Jesus. You want to know something about the nature of Jesus? Then see what God said about himself as he walked the earth. You think he was the middle of the rotor? You think he was working out a deal with Lucifer to keep from having a war with Lucifer's children to avoid the cross? You think he was trying to set up coexistence with Magog? Listen. It says, therefore, thou hast loved righteousness and thou hast hated iniquity. Oh, just a moment. Hate for Jesus? You mean Jesus hated? Oh, he must be in the hate monger class. He must be a right winger. Let's see what he's hating. He's hating iniquity. Thou hast loved righteousness, thou hast hated iniquity, you have accepted the right, you have repudiated the wrong. And therefore the eternal spirit, which is the fullness of God, hath anointed thee with an oil of gladness above all thy fellows. You know, I'd rather get that anointment than that symbol of God's spirit for being on the right side and hating iniquity than to get all the approbation of all these mongrelizing Christians and Jew fraternities on the face of the earth. No, we're just tired of them attacking the people that are on the right, tired of listening to them attack the church, tired of hearing them attack people if they hate the evil, when God Almighty says, if you don't hate the evil, you don't get any blessing from me. In fact, they're going to keep it up, and they're going to make some first-class hating. You say, what does that mean? That means you can march into battle after the enemies of God with a song of gladness on thy lips, the scripture says. But all we don't want to bring us, listen, my friends, the best thing ever happened to America if we could drive all the devils out of America and off the earth. So look out, Dr. Smith, they'll have a hearing. Well, I think it's about time they had a hearing on what the Bible says. They may not like our Christianity, but they'll have to admit it's Christian. They may not like what God's had to say, but they'll have to admit this is what he said. So here is this book of Hebrews. Now that's written to us because we're the descendants of Hebrews, and there is a Jew on the face of the earth that's a Hebrew. Thank God for that. Now, if they say that this is their book, then they're also stuck with the fact that God hates iniquity, loves righteousness, and they killed him. Therefore, this declaration establishes the divine purpose. We mentioned last Friday night, this afternoon, that this holy seed of God that he transplanted through the Adamic race and then came out of it as the man Christ Jesus and then traced the genealogy through the lips of his apostle Mark back down to his death, who was the son of Adam, who was the son of God, showing the continuity of this seed. And when Lucifer came in to try to mongrelize your race and integrate it into the world order of his day, and in the seduction of Eve produced Cain and the catastrophe that followed, God came in to cleanse his household, to select the posterity of Seth by which he was going to carry on the genealogy with the cleansing of the womb. And then he said, now this is what I'm going to do. I am going to put enmity between thee and the seed of the woman. I'm going to put the enmity between the serpent race and between my household, my seed out of which I've come. God not only said, I'm going to put enmity there, but you go get the dictionary and find out what enmity means. The word enmity means hatred. Now, we've never taken much time to hate people by race or to hate people by species. Any more than we hate dogs or cats or anything else. We don't hate them. We like good dogs. We dislike bad ones. But I'm going to point out to you that as far as the process of the kingdom of evil is concerned, and those that give themselves to it, we are opposing them ultimately. And they're designed to crush, destroy God's kingdom or ruin our nation. We hate that design and the perpetrator while he does it. Someone tried to keep everybody peaceful the other day, and they used a psychologist on the radio. I was driving along listening to this nimble brave. He was. He said, everybody better stop hating everybody right now because it raises their blood pressure, shorten their life, and kill it. And he started telling why you should get along with everything and not be disturbed by anything, not oppose anything, and you'll live longer. The other day, I picked up a newspaper that the Jews had influenced and said that we were the most extreme voice of hate. They knew anything about that we hated, and that they got to stop it. Should have killed us a long time ago, that. Let me tell you something. If you are against evil, you are in tune with God. If you hate the evil and the iniquity, you're not only in tune with God, but instead of getting weaker, you get stronger. Instead, my friends, of destroying yourself, you're empowered. I find the same people always were against everybody God raised up to oppose evil. They were against Moses. They were against Elijah. And they hated Elijah so badly that they put a price on his head. But the power of God descended to fulfill the responsibility, and God answered with the sign, the miracle at the hand of Elijah, and Elijah went out and beheaded the enemy. 450 of them at one time. So it's good, you don't advocate that, Dr. Smith. I just advocate anything God wants to eliminate the enemy. There's several little special sessions coming one of these days, and I'm just waiting for God to come in and take charge of it, because this is the area of his responsibility. None of us want to cut God out of his own day. You know, you can push and prod just long enough that they can get it. They can hear the word that they have been waiting to hear. Now, we never have a meeting anymore that some representative of the various odd foods are not here to take it down. So take it down and take it back. We wait for the day when evil shall be liquidated in these United States. We wait for the day when every anti-Christian force finds this an unhealthy place to live. When every dope peddler, when every swindler, when every conspiratorial leader of these forces of Luciferian darkness are driven from American shores. I don't see any constitutional right anyhow to destroy everything that's right and uphold everything that's dark. So he said in one newspaper article that we hated Negroes, we hated Jews. You don't hate Negroes anymore, you hate elephants. But you haven't got room for elephants in your backyard. Don't hate skunks, but there's something about them I don't want in the house. And there is an analogy there. Every time somebody finds you dislike a certain thing, you must be a real bad hater. Don't confuse dislike tonight or a desire not to associate with in areas which are in violation of divine law with hate. And if you want to get the record straight, everything that pursues the processes of iniquity or would destroy God's kingdom or overthrow his word or deny that Jesus is the Christ, hate it with all your might. So when Christ came to earth, the embodiment of God, the great blessing is that he hated the iniquity. There's a lot of people today fulfilling this Laodicean doctrine. This is why the church and the clergy have let down so many people in their organization. Inside the book of the Apostle John, there's nobody today that the enemies of Jesus Christ hate any more than the Apostle John. The Nazarenes and the Jewish organization hate John as they never hated any other apostle. In fact, they even have some of our theological seminaries, which are dominated by them, talking about the anti-Semitism of John, and they want to take the Gospel of John out of the Bible and completely renovate it. I can understand why they want to renovate it. They don't want Christians to read John. They'll never get away with the book of John. I'm going to tell you something. The day that they say that John, as it now exists, cannot be read anywhere in the United States, that day, my friends, all America's going to wake up in a hurry. It's like this silly scout coming out in that newspaper article and attacking James Oviatt because he sent out a bill all over the city and said he wanted Christians to trade with him because he knows you Christians don't want to trade with Jews that don't like Christ and Christmas and don't want to have Christmas anyhow. And then this silly scout tells about the broadside and said Oviatt published in which the broadside said that the Anti-Defamation League of the Nazarenes tried to stop us recognizing Christmas with carols in our schools, with tableaus and pageantry, with a cross on our city hall, with all the things that go along with our Christmas celebration. And therefore, since the Anti-Defamation League did this, this terrible bigot, he said, came out with his broadside. And everybody that read this thing saw who tried to stop Christmas in Los Angeles. Says over here, If we have fellowship now, reading out of 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, the fifth verse, this then is the message. Hear this now. This then is the message. We therefore declare that God is the light. In him there is no darkness at all. This is an extreme position. It's light. It's light. No error. We therefore declare that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And if we have fellowship in him, and if we say we have fellowship in him, and we walk with the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. All these people that got one arm around some rabbi and one arm around the Christian church and say, we walk in the light, they're lying because they're walking in the darkness. You don't have fellowship with God while you've got your arm around the devil's children. You can't be acquiescent, appeaser, a truth chest, and an upholder of the standards of God's kingdom at the same time. You're just a peasant if you do that. Listen. If we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Well, we do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with Christians. That's the only important fellowship. Fellowship with him, with Christians. Fellowship in Jesus Christ, whose blood was sufficient in its atonement for us. Now I turn on in the writings of John. He makes this declaration. He talks about the fact that when Christ came into the world, that the embodiment of God was manifested for what purpose? To divide the world with the devil, or to form a united Christian devil assembly? Had he decided to take and a Christian jury and join it with a Christian church and make a Christian Judaic program? All I hear now from the National Council of Churches is my Christian Judaic heritage. Thank God I don't have any Jew heritage. And if there's anything in background we've gotten from there, we're ready to give it back just exactly in measures they paid it. Listen, he said, therefore, was the Son of God, the embodiment of God, manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Oh, no, we don't want to destroy anything. We're supposed to love it. Are we? Your command is to hate iniquity, not love it. You know, some of these people whose false religion has been talking about loving iniquity, and now I believe them. So what do you mean? I believe them. I believe they've been loving the devil so bad, they've been loving evil, they've been loving communism, they've been loving the Jews until they are a part of the thing they rob. Someone said, this isn't freedom. This is a Christian nation. It was founded by Christian men. It was founded by the very seed of God's kingdom under a covenant. It was founded for the perpetuity of our people, not for a melting pot of the world. Let Mr. Brown go to Israel or any place else he wants for a melting pot. America was not conceived as a melting pot. It was conceived as a great nation of the outstretched wings of the eagle under God. There's anything that's cemented together here that is out of all the great nations of God's kingdom, one great people is being produced. Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard, one race, one God, one mighty powerful nation. But don't go beyond that and try to fuse in anything else or the judgments of God come on you. Now let's get this clear. Know every spirit. Be sure of this now. Try every spirit. Know every spirit. Church says today, just take everybody at their face value and don't know anything about it at all. It doesn't make a difference who they are, where they came from, what they bring. Just let them in. They just let in 10,000 Chinamen. What do we know about them? Nothing. They just came into Shanghai and Hong Kong, and they poured in there from over the Chinese lines because there wasn't enough to eat the red Chinese, so they came in there, and they just couldn't take this many people in the colony, so we took them on an emergency parole system, and we just took in 10,000 Chinamen. Most or all of them came from red China, and we don't know how many reds we've gotten here. That's all right. Love them all. They're hungry. I hope every communist is hungry from now until the day he throws the system over. I'm not interested in feeding God's enemies. The quicker they starve, the quicker the kingdom comes in. Not interested in sending them east to the Soviet Union or sending them anywhere in the world. You want to get your blessings, Kurt, this is the way to do it. If you start giving the blessings God poured out on you to God's enemies, don't come up with that old story, love thy enemy. These are the enemies that are those that are inside your household, inside your own community, of your own race, that despitefully use you. And you can appeal to a sense of spirit and honor that's within them and challenge them by treating them with grace. But you're not told to treat God's enemies like this, to go out to the pagans and the Hindus and turn your head or turn your back, because they'll cut off your head and do it quickly. Listen. Therefore, try every spirit. Just don't take them at their first value. Use a little discernment. If you get an intuitive hunch, just stay away from something. Stay away from it. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard it should come. And even now is already in the world. Now just remember this. You don't have to join these people or put up with them in order to survive because there's more of them. Because greater is he that is in you than the power behind those that are in the world. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the embodiment of God, everyone that loveth him, for this we know, that we are the children of, we love the children of God when we love God to keep his commandments. I point out to you, he that hath not this truth and hath not this vision, he doesn't have a right. He has any part in your pattern whatsoever. You've been told to eschew the Antichrist. He that denies Jesus is the Christ, the same as Antichrist. Now, there is not a middle road. You're either right or wrong. You're either lined up with God or you're lined up with the devil. Now, let's take another look at this picture. I turn over here in the book of Matthew. We know that the lifeblood of the satanic system is the economy of Babel. It's the manipulation of its economic affluence. It is the satanic power of misapplied economy, known as mammon. Now, I know a lot of people that want to identify themselves as Christians if they don't have to do anything about it. They don't want anything that might even jar the calmness of their economic life. Jobs and position are more important than principle. Their trust is not in God, but it is in supporting the system, whichsoever system they feel will give them the most economically. But they're fools. You say, what do you mean? I mean that God already has a string of trumpets to bless them that fear him, to bless them that carry out his program, that bless them that resist the darkness, and no amount of economic conspiracy can stop God from blessing and lifting up anyone that truly, with the spiritual motive of fulfilling the will of the Father, take a stand. Let me show you something. Jesus makes it clear. You can't be in the middle of the road. You better get all the way over on the right. For no man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold the one, despise the other. You can't serve God and serve the Jew money system at the same time. That's what mammon is. Let's go a little farther. Dr. Chris shouldn't talk about that, because one has to protect himself. Protect yourself. How have you ever protected yourself? The enemy's been taking it out of your pocket and giving it to all the pagan systems he has in the world right now. And until you take a stand for God across this nation, they'll keep on siphoning it out and giving it away in foreign aid. So he said, well, we're supposed to love the world, and we give them everything they want. No, my friends, if God wanted the peoples of Africa and Asia to have great bounties, He'd give them a technology and know-how. He's punishing these people for worshiping the darkness and their superstition just having its own economy. I think people that worship witch doctors shouldn't get enough food. People that want to bow down before the shrines and the sanctuaries of Buddha never have had brains enough to understand how to use the plows you've given them. Let me point out to you something. There is no coordination of evil and good. And something goes wrong inside of the brain of those that are not in affinity with God. They don't have to be his children by birth, but they can accept him as the God of their creation. And there will be no vision and no blessing economically to the world until they line up with God. But Satan has a substitutionary program. In this, he tries to get all men to serve the darkness and hope that this is the route, but he never produces. At all, we see the areas of poverty and the areas of filth and darkness in the areas where he moves. But listen, we're being told that if you're opposed to a world government, the United Nations tonight, that you're an extremist. You're wrong. Now, either a thing is right or it's wrong. Either God wants you and the Hottentots to make one nation, either he wants you and all the pagans that hate it to be one people, or he wants you separate, one or the other. I can take you to Exodus, and I can take you to Deuteronomy, where he told you that you're not to dwell with these strangers. I can show you in the Bible where he condemns and warns you against marrying Jews, Negroes, Asiatics, or anybody outside of your race. We got one mayor jumping up and down. He uses pressure. The district attorney tried to deny us an auditorium this week in the San Jose, Santa Clara area. Because a bunch of Jews told him that this preacher believes in white supremacy. Wants to put all the Jews in a gas oven. He stole that line from Wells. Now, we never advocated a gas oven. That must be something on Welch's mind. You know, some people always want to put something in somebody else's mouth they've been thinking about. I haven't been thinking about that. That's such a slow process to settle the great problems of the world. God's got something so much better than that, I wouldn't even think about something like that. You know, when we stop thinking about failure and stop trying to build a plan on failure and work for something new that's going to succeed, we're going to get ahead and forget yesterday. Listen, does God want us in the U.S.? Does God want you joined up with all these pagans? Listen to what he said. 8th chapter of the book of Isaiah, he said, now listen, my people. The reason why you're in trouble, you rejoice and raise in Israel's God. The reason why you're in trouble, you let the foreign visitors come along, and you let these Jew advisors tell you, and they tried to integrate you with the nations, and they tried to join you together with all these peoples, and because of this, you're not only in trouble, but you're not even going to be able to stand before the Assyrian army. Now listen to what he said. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and you're going to be broken to pieces. Join yourselves up with all these other countries, which are my enemies, and think there's strength in this, and you're going to get defeated. He says, if you give ear, all you four countries, gird yourselves. You're going to be broken to pieces. Gird yourselves, and you'll be broken to pieces if you join up with these pagans. The Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand. He said, instruct me that I should not walk this way of these people, saying unto them, say ye not a confederacy or a union or a United Nations. All of them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, tell them no confederacy. You don't have to fear them. You that are afraid don't have to be afraid. You just set apart the instructions of Yahweh of hosts. Let him be your power, and only love him and fear his laws, and you're out of any trouble. So I said, what do you think we do? I think we ought to come out of the United Nations. We ought to set aside a great mighty day of salutations and praise unto our God. We ought to fire Salinger, we ought to fire Schlesinger, and we ought to take McNamara out of the Pentagon and call in all our military leaders. Set up, my friends, a high command and say, protect America and get ready for battle. Now, there's one of these odd fools going to run right back if the Dr. Swift advocated immediate war. I'll tell you what the liberals are advocating. Maybe not as far over as the extreme left from the middle out. They're advocating that in order to save ourselves from utterly being destroyed, we've got to scrap our weapons, disarm our nation, trust the enemy, and join him. Now, the difference between what they advocate and what I've advocated is what God said. Now, God's on the right side. He's all right. And he said, beat our plowshares into swords, our pruning hooks into spears, and we get ready to stand off these communists from all over, from the north and from every side. But, oh, it's so bloody. You know what? There's nothing more bloody than a surprise attack. There's nothing more deadly than a Pearl Harbor. I point out to you tonight that you're being set up to the kill by the world order that calls itself peaceful and liberal. Say, is it going to happen? No. God's going to use the voices of truth. God's going to stir people with this pulpit and others. God's going to awaken this nation, and we're going to throw out the evil and do it so quickly they'll never know where it happened and how it happened. Let me point out to you tonight that if you were to move out and attack tonight the forces of evil in America, you then would be attacking a minority in the United States. And under their design and plan, they try to crucify you because you're persecuting the minority, you're disturbing their peace of mind, you're guilty of genocide. They want to try you in the United Nations Court. They want to shut you up because you persecute the minority. But when these conspiratorial voices, usually in their unprecedented power and their influence, who still seems to remain in areas of government, attack your right as a Christian or call you a hater because you love God, whenever they seek to deny you press or auditorium or the outlet of truth, and you protest, and you're the majority, and they say you're crazy. We better put him in a mental hospital. He's a paranoid. Now, let me tell you something. It doesn't make a snap of my fingers difference to me tonight whether the devil's gang wants to say I'm crazy or not. And it doesn't make any difference whether they agree with me or disagree with me, or the fact that they don't like me. That doesn't make any difference. The only thing that is important to me is God in agreement with this position? Am I in agreement with God's position? And that, my friends, is enough to behead the enemy. I know what they've got planned for you. I am not under any illusion tonight that all of the glowing pots of oil with which the early Leninists and Stalinists boiled Christians, all the hideous scenes of Christians torn apart by yokes of oxen while Khrushchev and Stalin in their youth stood by, their younger days. I have looked at photographs which came out of Russia as millions were being put to death while the Jew ghetto masters took over a society and destroyed Christianity. Don't be under any illusion tonight that they love you better here or that they have a better blueprint for you. If they are to succeed, your enslavement and your death is the answer. Someone said we live in fear. We're not living in any fear at all. We go to sleep right away. When we go to sleep, somebody else takes over and goes on guard, who never slumbers or sleeps. Let me point this out to you tonight. And God Almighty warns you about this confederacy through the lips of Isaiah and warns you about it in the, through the lips of Ezekiel. He told you about this false status which they tried to roll the people into the area of defeat. And then God tells you in a clear blueprint in Ezekiel just how they're going to come with suddenness. Mount the invasion with air power, come with missiles according to Ezra. Each one of these things are to try to destroy God's kingdom. My friends, you're going to not only defeat this, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You may cry your eyes out with all the strange philosophies today of ignorance, but every city of Asia that rules its hour with the Antichrist that tries to destroy God's kingdom is going to be reduced to powder and dust. So I said, oh, how long is this going to take? Not so long. Passage I read to you from the book of Matthew this afternoon, the Lord said, I'm going to shorten this time for the elect's sake so that or there wouldn't be anybody left on earth. People are worried about the terrible day when the missiles fly. It'll be just like somebody up there with a butterfly net was catching those missiles and then throwing them back the other way. Someone said, I don't believe that. Wait and see. For there's no weapon that's formed against you that you'll prosper. Listen. I turn to the 139th Psalm. I read here, O God, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Surely the wicked shall be slain by Yahweh. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against Yahweh wickedly, and thy enemies are taking God's name in vain. Do I hate them, O Yahweh, that hate thee? Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred, said David the psalmist. I count thy enemies my enemies. Now gird me with strength and let's go. Now I'm going to tell you something. These Jews don't have any partner lot with David, but before they can get to you for quoting David, they've got to issue David. The other day I talked to a brainwashed clergyman who wasn't altogether to blame for this because they never told him what was in the Bible in the seminary he grew up at. And he wanted to be a little critical of the position. He's already been contaminated with the Jews' lies. So when I said, all right, now I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to prove to you that my stand is out of the Old Testament, that my stand is with Moses, Elijah, and David. Now, who are these men? If they're God's men, you haven't anything to say. And my friends, if the Jews try to claim them, then they say they have to advocate this position. And thus curse themselves for their own iniquity. I can't think of anything that would probably stir up the ashes and bones more quickly of David than for a people in Christendom to think he was a Jew. I don't find any road that says you can support both the right and the wrong. We are being told today that all the things in America that happen are being done by the right. When a communist assassinated the President of the United States, all too quickly, from the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court down to all areas of communication, they said this murder was committed by the right wing. And then after they found out that a red with a Jew-Ozgu conspiracy background had done this thing, they still haven't given up. And now their twisted brain said, well, we stirred them up to do this because we were against them. They better not tell America that hating communism is the reason why a communist assassinated our president. Because America is going to start hating communism real bad. because we hate communism in all of its forms for the evil it represents. And recognize there's no security to any anti-communist America except as God provides it if the Secret Service and the FBI and the CIA couldn't protect the president in Dallas. They were so busy looking for the right wing to do something wrong that they couldn't see the era of Satan while it operated. Now, if tonight I'm not willing to surrender the clear blueprint of God's kingdom for united amalgamation, we are challenged with being dangerous, and we're told that the extreme white must be removed. I have some 20 clippings this week and editorials still coming in from all over the nation, new ones, programs on television, startling strategies of smear. You know, these fellas build up this forum complex, and then they put a lot of rats on there. I want you to know that the average interviewer who conducts a forum is a kite. And every last kite interviewer I've found slants it. Every last one of them. And every time they slant it, they try to make it look as though this is the people's position we're taking. The other day, one of them started in on the right wing again. One of our Hollywood Jew broadcasters said, it's quite obvious now that the right wing didn't have to take on a guilt complex because they hadn't anything to do with the assassination of the president. They haven't had anything to do with anybody's assassination since Evers were assassinated down the South. The right wing didn't kill Evers any more than the right wing blew up churches, commons, and UGDs that even operate out of areas of the government. And I have no question in my mind that they're tied in closer to administration levels than you realize. They blow up churches and they create crises so they got an excuse to come in and investigate, harass, and condemn. And I tell you that we have ever-increasing evidences that power that is in the middle and to the left in these United States is a deadly thing for God's kingdom. And the right better wake up fast. And from the top to the bottom, in every area of life, we better get in Christian life. If you're opposed to the mongrelization of your blood, then, my friends, you're an extreme right. But so also is God. You cannot be a Christian today and support integration of race, of religion, or of nationalities as far as the peoples of God's kingdom and the outside of it are concerned. Over here in the book of Deuteronomy, God tells you very clearly, no. He says, if you do it, I'll be angry with you. I'll pour out judgments. Catastrophes will happen. Don't you mix my blood. Don't you integrate the society. Don't you let these things live with you. Don't you join yourselves to them. So I said, oh my, that's not the gospel that's going to win the world. This is the gospel that's going to win in the world. This is the kingdom that's going to come in with glory till every knee shall bow. This is the kingdom that will bring righteousness and justice. So we say, how are they going to draw close to us if we hold this position? They'll draw close when they're educated and clean. A lot of people right now, I don't want them to draw close, not very close. We're not going into the passages of all the instructions of Paul, but that come out from among them and be separate or segregated still stands out as the great classic Christian instruction. Don't you touch the unclean thing. The declaration is clear. In the Old Testament, it's the same thing. I point out that God called on you as a people, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, which Spirit dwells in you, and referred to these others as the temples of idols and pagans and an unclean thing. that you be separate and segregated so I can continue to be a father unto thee and thy children after thee all their generations. Now there are some people that tell us that they have a blueprint for building a better world. They think they can build a better one than God, but the route they're taking would destroy it. Out of the Los Angeles Times this week was a picture. Well, last Sunday it was in the paper as well. There was Hyman Rickover and several others that were in the picture. Humphrey. And they wanted to create an intellectual elite corps established by the government with the authority to direct Congress in the areas of legislation and limit and control all the thinking, all the technology, and all the legislation in America so we'll never get in trouble, nothing to worry about. An intellectual elite. But they were sure digging deep to find it. Everything they were for, God and even his embodiment in Jesus Christ was against. So they now want thought control, brain control, and this is the disaster. All right, we said this afternoon, to be the elect of God from before the foundation of the world, the race, the household, the people, then before knew was an important thing. And in that election, he said, I'm going to send my ministering spirits to gather my elect from the four corners of heaven, the four corners of earth, and then we'll go into the election. What's going to happen? He said, I'm going to overthrow the powers of darkness and the forces of evil, and I'm going to give you the kingdoms of this world. And you're going to rule over them. And you're going to rule over them with righteousness and with a law of iron, which is the law of righteousness. And out of it's going to emerge the world's great utopian millennium. You know, tonight, all the clergy are advocating coexistence, advocating accepting the darkness of taking the neutralism position. All the people that advocate this and want to mix in the same institutions, the same organizations, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Jews, the Christians, all of these people have no program for God, no program for the preservation of their nation, and they may have a little influence now. They may feel real important as they walk around with their hands folded. Make sure that their collar is on backwards. Or that the robes are draped just right. Well, let me tell you something. They're just having their hour for a moment. My Bible says that their own mothers and fathers are going to say, behold, our sons were no ministers. There were no preachers. And their day is about over. I'm going to point out to you that God is lifting up a standard of truth for a great new day. There's only one place for Christ and his kingdom, that's right. No other place to go. This week we'll have more evidences of this same policy. They actually, the enemy, has called on one mayor and one district attorney to try to see if they can't stop the preaching of the gospel in the San Francisco area. Now, not all gospel, just the gospel that proclaims this. Tells you what's going to happen. It's going to spread real fast. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Jesus, he showed compassion and love unto the sheep of his pasture. He spake as never a man spake before. Who knotted up that cord and drove the money changers from the steps of the temple and said, you've made my father's house a den of thieves, liars, and murderers as he ran the Jew priest from the temple steps. I want you to catch this picture. It happened twice in the ministry of Christ. He dodges up those steps and runs the Jews off that step, overthrows their money changing table, scourges them. Tells them who they are and what they are. And this is what, we never go beyond this. We just tell them who they are. What they are. That's what we tell you. What they hate us for tonight is declaring what Jesus said. Just remember that. They hated him before us. And the servant is not to fare better than his master as to their evaluation. But God's thrown a wall of fire around you and said, you don't have to be crucified. Just wake up and resist.